Live from the Business Radio X studio in Atlanta, it's time for Organization Conversation, brought to you by Wall Control Storage Systems. Wall Control gives you the storage and organization you crave. Now, here's your host, Richard Grove.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Organization Conversation. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know this is not host Richard Grove, but Richard's nearby. This is John Ray with Business Radio X, and Richard and I have switched spots for this show. Richard, you're the guest.
It's nice to be a guest and actually have a real host hosting the show, so a real professional.
Right. It's good to hear you as a guest because you're always asking the questions on this show.
And, exactly.
Right? Yeah. And so it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too, and we're celebrating something special today. We're celebrating the 50th episode of Organization Conversation. You made it to 50 episodes. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been, time flies when you're having fun. So you've made it easy, John. So well, it's been a pleasure, and learned a lot along the way about Wall Control ourselves and all of our great guests. So it's been a fun journey so far.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little more about that, but congratulations to you because the average number, the median number of podcasts when people start a podcast is one episode. Did you know that?
Oh, man.
The median is one.
I would have guessed really low, probably single digit low, but I would not have guessed one.
Yeah. They do one and it's so much to get to the finish line, they collapse and forget it.
I can say if it weren't for you and Business Radio X, we'd probably be closer to one just because it's so much work to execute a podcast. I was actually just talking with someone about this yesterday and how if it's so nice because I can just come in the studio here, we record it, and I'm done until it shows up and send the file and the link and all that. And then we get to do the fun part of promoting it. But yeah, I mean, you guys have made it easy and we're not in the median one episode because of you guys.
Thank you. You're very intentional about your creating your content and at Wall Control, not just in terms of your podcast, but really across the board. Y'all do such a tremendous job. And it's you, but it's not just you.
No, yeah, we definitely have a good team of different roles. And it's cool too, because so like Adam, Lazy Guy DIY, he's behind our Instagram account. And then we have a couple other folks we work with behind other accounts. So we use an outfit marketplace, Sellers, who my wife's with actually, to do our Twitter and Pinterest now. Mm-hmm. We've used some other really good places in the past, like Porch Light, to do run some ads for us and some campaigns. But what's good about that is you don't have the same flavor across every single platform. So if you're following Instagram and you go follow our Twitter, they're going to feel different. Like it's different content. Yeah. And so some of it's used crossed over, but it's not like we just create one post and blast it across all the different platforms. It's actually different everywhere you go. And it has the flavor of whoever or whatever agency is running it, which has been pretty cool. And it's fun for me too, because years ago I did create everything. Like I created all the digital assets and everything that was posted. I knew it because I made it.
Right.
Well, now I'll see something. I'll be like, oh, that's really cool. And I had nothing to do with it. And it's just cool to see what other people do with the brand. And those are the posts we create with our team. But what's really been great and a nice asset of the product is that when it's on the wall, it's its own display system. Mm-hmm. So just tons of user generated content through people tagging us. And then we have a photo contest. So if you're listening and have some Wall Control, take a picture of it, email it into the photo contest, you'll get a 10% discount on your next order.
Oh, wow.
And it's entered to win a $100 coupon code every quarter. We select a winner, runner up and all that. But all that creates a lot of good content also. And you get to see a ton of new applications that we wouldn't necessarily think of ourselves. Then you get to see where the market's going. So we've seen a ton of gym home equipment storage organization to the point where we created a different Instagram account and website, gympegboard.com and at gympegboard, just to try to give that audience and that consumer base more ideas on how they can store their home fitness equipment. We done the same thing with firearm storage because we saw a huge audience of that and created a resource for them to be able to see specifically what they need and get that direct guidance. Same thing with crafting and hobby kitchen, all these different applications were brought to us by our customer base, which has been really cool. We started in garage storage, but it's evolved into all these different audiences.
Yeah, that's really one of the amazing things about your company is how you use social media, and you go beyond social media to do this, but to listen to your customers mm-hmm. and what your customers say. You're pretty intentional and you've got a process around that.
Yeah. And we've said this before on this podcast, but there's a saying, the customer's always right. And people think that means one thing, but what it really means is that the customer will tell you what they want. Like, we think we know what a customer wants, but we don't know what they want until they show us. So
right.
we might think red is the perfect color for this new accessory and everybody's buying yellow. The customer has now told us yellow is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
If we think it's a good idea or a bad idea, that doesn't matter. So we've really learned a lot through being able to engage with our customers and users of our product. And it's fun to just seeing what folks come up with. Another huge area that we've seen adopt wall control is like gaming and home computing, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that really blew up the last few years. I guess maybe work from home helped a little bit with that. But like, we just posted on Instagram this past week, this insane gaming station that this dad made for his kids out of like bunk beds. And it's just really cool seeing the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And it inspires us when we're trying to innovate and create new products. And
right.
things like that have been really instrumental in helping us pick a direction to go. And because we're a small team and we're trying to stay lean in these weird years that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to pick a direction to go that we think is going to have a big ROI. It's a lot easier when you have a lot of different voices telling us what they like or don't like.
So you're a leader in the maker community. And one thing that all makers have in common is the variability of their cost of goods sold, whether it's wood or steel in your case mm-hmm. or what have you, and trying to control that and navigate the right. ups and downs of that. You've experienced a lot of that here in the last few years,
yeah,
right? With steel prices.
Yeah, it's been for sure crazy. And yeah, we're in the maker space. And it's funny because when you say maker, it could be like the maker community who makes things in the garage.
Yes.
And then also the manufacturing community. That's like us who makes mm-hmm. the products, the makers. So it's
sure.
But yeah, it's cool because we're in both. We have a foot in both of those circles. But
yeah,
the cost of goods sold has been, it's been a bear trying to chase for sure. We spent the last part of 2020, 2021, 2022, really trying to get a handle on that and where mm-hmm. it was going. What we've seen is steel is our number one cost of goods sold as far as material goes. And so that shot up like 400%, and it's come back down, but it's come down to 100 or 200% of where it was really historically. Like for the trailing 10 years prior to 2020, it was more or less pretty stable. It would go up or down 20%, and that seemed crazy at the time, but then came COVID. And so it's fallen to a very high level, which is what is concerning. We've figured out how to manage it. We've adjusted pricing accordingly, and people still buy at where we need to sell at, which is encouraging. And that was another one, not to go on a tangent, but one thing we found through over the years is how cost sensitive folks are in this particular space. And it's really with anything, everybody's sure. Looking for, but what we found is, if I had to summarize it, your tool storage system shouldn't cost more than your tools. That's just fundamentally like, you don't need to be spending more on pegboard than you're spending on your drills and your, so we've tried to align with that and create a product that meets that customer value sweet spot, I guess, where quality is not sacrificed and strength is not sacrificed for the amount that they're willing to pay for a system that stores their stuff well. So finding that product market fit was definitely a trial and error process and very important. And product market fit is a huge, huge factor for anybody kind of getting into anything. You want to make sure you know that. And again, it's going back to letting the customer tell you where they're at on that. So all that to say, the material costs definitely rock the apple cart, so to speak, when it comes to cost of goods sold. But we found a pretty good, maybe I would call it like a certain cruising altitude. It was rocky and we go up and you go down. We found the right spot to be flying right now. We're hoping that it ticks back down again, but it really, it's so weird. Like if you look at it, essentially flat, 400%, then it dropped back down by half. We're still 100, 200% above where we were. And we're just sitting there and it's just ebbing and flowing at that price point.
Give some advice to wherever a business sits in the maker ecosystem when it comes to managing the ups and downs of your cost of goods sold and how you've navigated that and how you keep your head about you.
The hard part is, so we sell direct to consumer and that's a whole lot easier because we can just go on our website and change our prices and everything's great. The much more nuanced conversations are with your buyers for your big box stores and your distribution model. Injecting a cost increase is almost impossible. It's very hard. They fight it tooth and nail. Mm-hmm. And so trying to do that in a way that doesn't disrupt their sales volume is important, but also being cognizant of you have to fight to get any increase. But as soon as that index ticks back down again, they're calling you wanting a cost decrease. So it's like the conversation we have to say is, look, we have eaten it for 6 months to try to hold this price. Mm-hmm. It might have gone down, but we're still selling it to you like we were in 2021 or wherever it happens to land. Trying to manage that is a difficult thing. And trying to determine where your, like what your appetite is for the short term. So like, for instance, we would get to the point where there were some accounts that we didn't want to rock the apple cart too much. So I would almost call it an advertising cost, just almost a break even, just to continue having access to the platform with a product that does well. So we're not making any money on it, but we're able to sell elsewhere because of it. And that's one benefit of our brand is I can give you the pegboard and then I can sell you the hooks at a better margin. So if it was just one widget, I'd have to make all my margin on that first sale and I couldn't come back and sell into the system that you have. So we're able to offer our paneling at, we'll call it a discount, because we hope you enjoy the ecosystem and then come back to us either for hooks or accessories or some sort of direct sale customization type thing. And so building that longer lifetime customer value proposition over the course of them owning the product and being an adopter of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess it's not quite a razor blade model, but it sounds like that.
Yeah. I wish it was that. If I could find a way to make a subscription like that, would be cool. We've thought about like, how could we do something like that? But because that's a really a good model. But the flip side of that coin is our process for determining where to price and deciding when to raise, when to lower, and how much we're willing to lose. It's very conservative, I would say. We don't go for aggressive growth. We go for sustainable long-term growth. Mm-hmm. We don't just try a ton of stuff and throw stuff against the wall and see what works. It's much more deliberate for us. And it's because it's easier to plan long-term and it's a more sustainable model for us. I just heard a thing about, before we went hot mics, we were talking about Amazon and some things there. And this is news that's out there, but over the last few years, there's been a ton of Amazon aggregators, which are basically just companies taking private equity and buying up tons of Amazon brands, like Amazon exclusive brands. We're not that. We sell across a lot of different places, but almost all of them are filing for bankruptcy. Yeah, they're doing terribly because it was like growth at all costs, leveraging debt like to the T. And so interest rates tick up, consumer demand softens. You're upside down. We're seeing that too on our manufacturing side. We've seen, which is like the first time ever, stuff go on auction equipment that's a year or two old, which means somebody bought it a year or two ago, and then now they're auctioning it off due to insolvency or bankruptcy. So it's just crazy to see. You can really get ahead of your skis. And so we try to not do that, and we would sacrifice the short term for that longer term sustainable model. Like we've been... Wall Control specifically, we've been doing this for going on 20 years and we are healthy and happy and doing great and we'll keep cranking along. there's things I could do today that would increase sales tens, twenties, 100%. It, for real, there's ways to do that. Mm-hmm. One is we could, you're a pricing expert. We don't want to drop our cost and slash prices and sacrifice right. that, but there's other ways to do it too, but that aren't necessarily sustainable in the long term. And we've just steered away from those, especially during this time of what I would say. If you look at the stock market, it's booming and unemployment's great, all these different indicators, but it's, if you talk to people, it's not, that's not what they're saying or seeing. Yeah. It's definitely the discretionary income for kind of that mid to higher price point item is, you definitely see a softening out there just across all the different conversations that we have. So just trying to plan based on that versus what could be perceived as the economy is going gangbusters, invest, invest, build, expand, expand, expand. So, you know, hopefully that touches on some of those questions.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of food for thought there. So let's shift gears a bit and talk about your observations of the maker community and ecosystem that you sell into. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a little bit different. Everyone's got a different kind of business and what have you. But talk about what you've seen change over the last few years and what you see ahead.
It's hard because I have a brand perspective, mm-hmm. and so an outsider, one foot in, one foot out kind of thing, just by function of my role at Wall Control where I sit. But I think that I've seen, and this is not to paint with a broad brush, and this isn't everybody, but there's been when Instagram and TikTok and all these, there's every day, there's something new, Threads, whatever, there's all these different things. And you can see people chasing the algorithm and spending a lot of time on their screen and on their phone, curating content to promote their business. And I feel, and I'm, again, this is totally me anecdotally, there hopefully, and it seems like there might be a shift away from that and back to the basics, which is like the craft, the making and all that. I do not envy the solopreneur maker who's trying to create their craft, yep. their products, sell their products, promote themselves on social media and do all these different things. Like, it's exhausting. I can't, it's so hard. We luckily have a team with our account, our social media Wall Control accounts. I have my own Twitter and Instagram, and then I operate Wall Control. And just between my couple of accounts that I try to tend to, I'm not frequent with it at all. I do not do a good job of like once a week or even once a day, you know, let alone once a day. No, once a week. No, maybe once a month I'll get something posted, and it takes a long time. Yep. You sit there on your phone, you read it like 10 times and you spend half an hour just making sure everything's right. And did I get all the right hashtags in there and all that? And it's just, at the end of the day, it is a distraction to quote unquote making. And yep. I hope that, you know, the momentum goes in the other direction. It goes back to like people doing what they want to do and what they're good at and their craft and not stressing about what Meta or TikTok or whatever the algorithms are going to do. Cause it's really demoralizing if you sink hours and hours into something and it flops and it was great.
Yeah. And you really get your head tied up in that, and your confidence, your morale, however you want to put it, gets tied to the mast of that.
Right? Yeah. And then you take that back to your work and you think I suck or whatever. And it's like, I hate that's the game that it is these days, but that's what you got to have some presence. I don't know. Maybe you don't, but it would be nice if it got back to where you didn't really have to. And it's funny for me to say that, because as a brand, we try to leverage social media, and if someone has a big audience, it's great to work with them, because then you can spread your brand. It's definitely a double-edged sword there. So it's given us a lot, but it's at a cost, and hopefully that balance keeps kind of swinging back around whatever the sweet, sustainable, healthy spot is over time.
Now, you have been very much a leader in developing influencers that help you market your brand. And you talked a little bit about how customers come to you with ideas. so forth. I would imagine that there are a lot of folks out there that wonder, how can I do that with wall control? Mm-hmm. So let's talk to them, right? What is it that stands out for you when you pick that winner of the month? What is it that stands out for you when you're looking at makers out there and what they're doing with your product?
Yeah, I guess if just one word that jumps out is creativity. So if you are doing something creative with it, that is cool. We don't want to, the traditional tools in the garage setup, we always love, but it's, if you see something creative, it really sticks in your head. So that's the, that would be the one word banner, but just anything that, and you can be creative too with just regular tool storage. We see people mix in colors and the panels don't have to be mounted right next to each other. You can space them out and create cool art on the wall just with the way you lay out your system. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of different things like that, but just the, those are the things that catch our eye. And that when it comes down, and the way the photo contest works, people send their photos in and it's cool. Cause again, going back to the algorithms, it's not based on how many likes it gets. Like, it doesn't have to get the most likes out of anybody in that quarter. It doesn't have to be the most elaborate system. Oftentimes the winner is just a simple panel or two with accessories that's set up creatively or tastefully done and nice, and an actual nice picture. Like, they took a little time to clean all the crap off of it and straighten it up. So we can't, like, it's bad to have a winner that has a very cluttered desk. And so we want that picture to give people like a sigh of relief. Oh, that looks nice. I wish my garage was neat and tidy like that. So if you were trying to curate the perfect picture, that's probably what it is. A nice picture. Take away your phone for sure. Like, that, you don't need anything, just a simple phone picture, but get the cat off of that. But actually sometimes that's fun too. If there's something funny in there, that's cool. We've had cats on a shelf and I don't know if it was a winner or not, but it definitely got a lot of considerations. Yeah. We basically create like a folder of all the, and the other thing too is if you send in your photo like today, you can win future quarters. It's basically just whatever quarter it's used and to the audience. So if we use it on social media or Twitter, whatever that date is, that's the quarter that it's eligible for. And just because you didn't win that time, if it gets used again, then it goes back in the pool for being winner again. So we'll put all those in like a folder, everybody will vote on it and we'll talk about it. And that's how that process goes.
Okay. Complete sidebar. Speaking of cats, do you have a cat shelf as part of your,
we don't have one, but someone made,
really?
Like, yeah. It was shelves with like cat stuff on, you know how they have like the climbing walls? It was basically like that. And there were cats like in, we have these shelf guard things that like, if you, a lot of people want just every shelf in your house doesn't have a lip on it. It's just a shelf. So if you have something a little long, it'll fall, hang off the end, however you want. But if you want confined, we have shelf guards you'll put on there. And so this person or this, I don't know if they did it or their cat did it, but basically they had a shelf guard
and probably the cat,
there was a bed. Yeah. Yep. And the cat was using whatever was in there as the bed. So the cat was sleeping on the shelf in the shelf guard with the little bed.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's, we didn't know that was, we never knew that was a use, and there it was.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah. I would never think that you could put a cat bed on a 12-inch shelf with a shelf guard and that the cat would like it, but they do.
That question's courtesy of my wife. My Monica. See, one of the things you and I have in common is we have wives named Monica. Uh-huh. So my Monica loves cats. Exactly. So that question came courtesy of her.
Yeah,
so
we can get her a cat set up if she wants.
Cool. Folks, we're chatting with Richard Grove, and Richard's normally the host of Organization Conversation, and thankfully for you, he'll be back in his right spot next time.
And we'll have a fun guest for our audience next time too, John. We won't spoil it, but you guys stay tuned.
Yeah, okay. We'll check that out. So let's talk about the different, I guess, for lack of a better term, you've got a better way of putting this than I do, but the parts of your business that are focused on gun collectors and so forth that you mentioned, how do you decide what verticals to focus on there?
That's a good, so with the firearm stuff, it was pretty easy. That was an obvious one for us for a couple reasons. One, It can be a contentious topic for sure. We didn't want our main wall control feed to, and you can't cater to everybody, but we didn't want it to create anxiety or run people. It's hard to have a little Susie with her pink work from or her little pink study station, followed up by a wall of guns and knives. So it's a weird, you basically you create this weird audience and you don't know what you, the algorithms don't know how to feed your feed to who. And so it, a lot of it was that. And then going back to the algorithms, they are very careful not to feed a firearm picture to someone who doesn't want to see one. Mm-hmm. And so if you get tagged like that, then you can be, they call it shadow banned, where you're just not being fed like you would. So we said, all right, we don't want to muddy the waters there. We're going to keep those two things separate. And the other massive issue, and this is where that first one is really only firearm or gun pegboard isolated situation. But the much bigger thing is people really, a lot of people, there's a group of customers who are going to just come up with the craziest applications and they just see it all like immediately. They know exactly, oh my gosh, I can do this with it, blah, blah. And then there's another group that like really need to see it done the way they want it to be done before they go in on it. And they want to know what hook to buy, what shelf to buy. And so when you drill down or drill up or whatever, in whatever vertical you want to go to, you can really speak directly to it. Like for the gym pegboard, we could call the hooks specific things for gym storage. And so that helps connect the dots for a customer who might not see it right off the bat, but they're like, oh, okay, that's called a barbell hook. It'll hold my barbell. So that's helped us do that. And trying to decide which ones to tackle next is basically just a volume game. So we'll look and see what kind of feedback we're getting, how much we're being tagged for a particular vertical or particular application. There's some like back end research we'll do, search volumes, that kind of thing. The other thing too is just bandwidth. How much time do we have? Do we want to spin up a whole nother website for it? Do we want to create a whole different brand for it? So there's some complexities there. But you don't want to, the other thing too, you don't want to splinter it off too much because then you've created brand confusion and you're sharing your web traffic across multiple websites, which couldn't be good or bad. So I think we're pretty happy with the mix we have now. There's a couple more that might be worth consideration in the future if we keep seeing volume, but it's a lot of work to just creating a new website, creating new social handles and a personality for it. That's a lot of work. And again, we don't want to distract from the overall main brand of Wall Control too much.
Yeah.
The other thing we've gotten is like, people, especially when we launch gun pegboard, it's these guys are ripping you off. You need to send this to your attorney. Look at this website. And we're like, that's us. Like we put it on the contact us and about us pages. But, and it's really nice that people are going to our defense and pointing this out, but
it is nice.
You don't want to risk that sort of, you don't want people to think that brand is doing that because that doesn't look good on the brand that we've created. So if they think it's copying Wall Control.
So yeah. So it's so separate that there aren't like links from the Wall Control website. There are. Okay.
Yeah. So basically if you want to see like on our website, if you go to the bottom, there's a retailer information page. Yep. You click on that and you'll get all of our, and likewise, if you go on any of these websites and you go to About Us or Contact Us, you'll see it's a Wall Control property. But sometimes people don't do that. They just see it and then they say stuff.
We have, speaking of client loyalty and how your clients are looking out for you, relatedly, let's talk about Made in the USA. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of your brand.
Yeah, for sure.
And is that becoming more of a selling point, or a buying point for customers out there, that when they see that they're buying? Because it's fair to say people's attitudes about buying overseas have changed a lot over the last several years. We'll just put it like that.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to say it?
For sure.
And are folks willing to they're not totally forgetting about what something costs, but are they willing to prioritize Made in the USA? Maybe that's the way to ask.
Yeah, and that's a really good way to say it. And when we price and we design, we don't even think about that being a reason we could charge more. Mm-hmm. We want to compete apples to apples with wherever stuff's made, but it is a differentiator. So it makes, if you're comparing product X with product Y with Wall Control and X and Y are made overseas, that might be the criteria that makes you fall on the wall control bandwagons. We've definitely seen that impact our sales and be a benefit to the brand.
Mm-hmm.
The other big thing is that it's becoming an advantage that we manufacture our own pegboard in-house, and we don't have to wait on a container to come through the Red Sea and maybe get caught by the Houthis. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah, exactly. This,
and the variable costs on that too, like a container is twice as much as it was 6 months ago. So it's healthier for our business to have that sustainable, again, that word, I guess, that sustainable supply chain that isn't going to be disrupted by those things. And we saw the same thing during COVID when containers had the same, they were all backed up off the coast of California. There was, I don't know how many dozens of them were sitting out there, but we didn't have to worry about that. We had our product and we're ready to go. The Made in USA is important for a lot of reasons. It's the number one reason we did it is because to keep our own staff busy at our manufacturing plant, keep our presses busy, our tool and die makers, designers, engineers, all that. And then it became a selling point. It became a differentiator. And now it's just a safety mechanism for our business. So we don't have to worry about those things. But we can compete the way we manufacture. We can compete with anybody. We designed it to be a mass production product that we can make a lot of them in a short amount of time. So we don't ever want to, there's something, it's people will say you get what you pay for, but if you're a brand and you have to say that, I don't think that's a good thing to have to say. I think if you have
say more about that.
Yeah. If you like, you get what you pay for, if that's how you're selling your product, then you're not talking about it's featured. Yeah. The value's not there. You're basically just saying pay more because I'm telling you it's better. So I think there's a reason you don't see any huge brand in the world have their motto, you get what you pay for.
That's kind of snippy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't even try to have that conversation. We want you to see the value. And if it is a little bit more, then that's just what it is. But it's not a you get what you pay for thing. It's just, this is the price to bring you the product that we're producing. And we think we can compete with anybody in the world on it, even on a price standpoint. That's the long and short version of that.
Yeah. That's really a good business lesson for all of us, is you've got to make sure your messaging respects the customer.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Yeah.
And that's really what you're talking about there. Yeah. You got to be really careful about what you say to your customer.
Absolutely. And like I said, I think we're going to have a guest on a next episode we're going to dive deeper into that. We'll set that one on the shelf, so to speak. And yeah, definitely stay tuned if you want to hear more about, you know, pricing and strategy and value proposition and customer messaging.
We'll see how all that turns out.
Yeah.
So I want to come back around to the podcast. We're celebrate 50 episodes and you're in the top 1% of all podcasts simply because you made it to 50 episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
Why a podcast? Because you're in a visual medium.
Yeah.
And so why a podcast, an audio podcast? Why did you decide to do that? And how's it turned out for you in terms of the benefit that you thought you were going to get?
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah. It's been great. And the number one reason for a podcast, and again, we, like you said, we're a visual product and that's what sells 9 out of 10 times. But really, there's so much value in the longer form conversation. And it's such a funny kind of dichotomy too, because you have, everybody's talking about attention span getting shorter and reels need to be 60 seconds, 45 seconds, 30 seconds, 15 seconds. That's getting shorter.
It's getting shorter every day.
Then you have, I'm on minute 75 of a 2-hour podcast in my truck, like driving home. So there's also this, like people are getting an appetite for like longer form conversation. And so I think it's important to have both. And the thing you can do on a podcast and in a conversation like this is like really tease out an idea and work through a longer explanation for anybody who's willing to listen to it. So if we have a new product, if we need to differentiate between something, if we need to address something, it's so much easier to do this than on a podcast and in a conversation than in some infographic, and all that's important and good, but it's just hard to express it in even a commercial type thing. It's still not, it doesn't resonate the same way. It doesn't catch the ear the same and people don't follow it as closely. Or so you can get into a lot more detail in an episode like this. And then the other thing is, when it's over, you can splice and dice it and you can create those 15-second segments that are catering to a shorter attention span media, like a TikTok or something like that.
Sure.
I have a short attention span on TikTok and I have a long attention span with podcasts. So I'm both of those things. And I think most people are. So you can feed it a bunch of different ways. And what's cool too, is we've done an okay job of that, but we have 50 episodes now worth of content that we can go back in and dig out little snippets and create more and more content. So it's a really good way to capture a lot of information in a way that you can really dig deep on it and extract out whatever you want as time goes on.
Your listeners have seen you at WorkbenchCon. They've seen you at Haven with your mic interviewing. Why do that? Why is that important? And what has that done for you? For the brand?
Yeah, the number one reason we've done that is because it's so hard to get so many people in the same place. For the conferences that you've mentioned, like, tons of our friends are already there and it's just easy to rapid fire through it all and give everybody that spotlight and time on the mic with you and get the questions asked you want and let them tell the story they want to tell. And then you can, again, throughout the year, use that over and over again. It's something they can share and we can share. And it's a really good marriage of opportunity and efficiency.
Yeah. And you've gotten some nice relationships out of that too, I think, haven't you, along the way?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And not only made some, and that definitely solidified some, and it has for sure been a net positive, definitely something that we find a lot of value in.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. 50 episodes. Congratulations, Richard Grove. It's a pleasure to work with you. You're a lot of fun to work with.
I appreciate it, John. And we've had options for how we want to do a podcast or who wants to, and you've been like a perfect fit. Like
thank you so much.
Couldn't handpick a better producer and team to work with.
Thank you. You're terrific. And I'm not just making this up after 50 episodes. You remember after the first one you did, I told you, that's the best first episode. You're the best first episode host I've ever heard. You're natural.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It really means a lot.
For the very beginning. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, congratulations. And I think
I'm blushing if you can't see.
That's right. We may have to have a picture of that to go out. But no, again, congratulations and to you and to the success of your team. It's because you always bring your team forward and celebrate them, and we'll shout them out here as well. Congratulations to all of them at Wall Control.
Yeah. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And folks, I just want to remind you that Wall Control metal pegboard panels and galvanized steel tool boards are first in class when it comes to pegboard style tool storage and organization. They're made in the USA, as you heard, and Wall Control pegboards separate themselves from the competition by being superior in durability, strength, versatility, ease of installation, and appearance. Is that enough for you? And all at an affordable price point. If you want to learn more, go to wallcontrol.com. And as Richard said, big menu there to head around and see the different options that you have and the creativity that you can unleash on a Wall Control product.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Yeah, you nail on the head right there. So.
Yeah, terrific. Folks, once again, I'm John Ray with Business Radio X. Thank you again to Richard and his team, and congratulations again, and thank you for doing this episode, Richard. And we'll see you next time on Organization Conversation.
Thank you for joining us. Organization Conversation is brought to you by Wall Control, a family-owned and operated producer of best-in-class wall-mounted organizers for your home or business, made right here in the USA. To learn more, go to wallcontrol.com.